All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can walk in your footsteps. And Lord, we just praise you for the light you have given to us. And Father, as we come to your word now, just strengthen us, Lord, just that we just shake off the bit of weariness that comes usually when we have something to eat and a bit of a rest. And that, Lord, your Holy Spirit minister your grace and truth to us this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. The title is either Love or Hate. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 11. I'll read those in a minute. But, you know, believers are children of light, and we walk in the light. We possess the light. We've been translated into the kingdom of light. Therefore, darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. And there's no excuse for spiritual ignorance concerning the commandments of our Lord as related to a believer. Now, let's just start in at verse 7. We read, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." When we read verses 7 and 8, it may seem like there's a bit of a contradiction there, but they're not. The Holy Spirit would have us to understand what is being declared here. This is nothing new. It's not new at all. It's the same pure divine doctrine that was preached in the beginning. You see, what John wrote under inspiration wasn't a doctrine or a commandment that he came up with. The message he is giving is a message that was from the beginning. In other words, the pure doctrine given to him by the Holy Spirit and written down under inspiration of the Spirit for the main reason of this epistle, which is what? Do we remember? I've said it every week. I've preached it. You all fail. Verse chapter 1:4, that our joy might be full. That's right. This is why we have this epistle. It's an epistle of joy. See, even in John's day, and we see it rampant today, even in John's day, there were false teachers who were preaching man-made doctrines, some of which were very attractive, very inviting, that they might lead astray some of the people who heard John preach the pure gospel of God's grace. And these false teachers, they would come along and they would offer something new. It's the same old story, isn't it? That's what it is today. They're offering something new all the time. Today is the day of entertainment. You must be entertained. And that vision of that man swinging through on a wrecking ball is hard for me to get out of my head in this church. But that's just mind-blowing. All in the name of getting people in. And you know the gospel they teach, you very rarely hear the need for a sinner to come to Christ to be saved. They don't preach that. We can't preach the shed blood for the forgiveness of sin. They'll preach the shed blood to get a blessing of some kind in their life, but not for the reality of that without the shed blood there is no remission of sin. They don't want that. That's the day we're in, and this was the same in John's day. And those people who were in congregations who were not born again get attracted because of the novelty. They need to have their flesh pleased. And John wants real believers to understand these are not his words. This is the pure word of God, the pure gospel that they heard from the beginning, the very thing he preached. These are the same truths that Jesus taught and preached when he walked this earth and which believers had received. It was no new commandment. See, it's an old commandment. In other words, it's old in the sense it's always been there. This isn't something John has made up. The new commandment spoken of here in verse 8 is that we love one another. John didn't declare it. Jesus, the Savior, gave it to his disciples as a sign whereby the lost world might recognize the true Christian. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, before I go on, there are plenty of prickly Christians, amen? We love them, but they're prickly. It's like patting a dog backwards. It's that sort of a feel. But we still love them. Now, in the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what more do you do than others? Do not even publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You see, true Christian love is a trait, whether it's for our brother or whether it's for the lost. It is the trait of a person. Yet we're very quick to judge. Very quick. Very quick to compare. We all do it. I'm not saying that you're the only one. We all do it. My wife's laughing at the back. That's one of my favourite hobbies. But brotherly love is evidence of being truly born again. God is light. God is love. And if we are sharers in his light, will be sharers in his love. And the mark of a disciple of Christ is love, and it's a love that's evident, one that's real, one that's at work for the true brother and sister in Christ. Verse 10 says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Now, abiding in the light, that's a promise of stability in our lives. You see, love's an expression of faith. Love increases faith. In fact, brotherly love invigorates our faith, because love is the condition in which faith grows. And we know faith is what pleases God, and a stagnant faith is unpleasing to him. You know, the outreach of the heart in a holy affection to a Christian brother or sister strengthens and it increases the new life that we have within the heart, and the true, pure affection for others. It encourages and it increases the very wealth of our faith. It promotes Christ's love within the heart, and then the heart grows rich in giving all that Christian love and graces to others around us. It promotes godliness in our lives. Devotion, it draws us into a deeper, more fulfilling life with Christ, and it gives us a real strength in the entire area of our Christian life. See, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. So the true believer is open to and motivated to be strong in holy principles, faithful to perform their Christian duties. They're united as one in loyalty to the Lord. See, they're a true servant of the Master, because they see themselves bound to him, and they're not going to let anything hinder or destroy that love relationship. You know, that's what it's like when you love someone. You don't want to let anything in that's going to put a wedge in amongst it. You're going to protect it. You're going to look after it. You're going to enjoy it. And it says there, and there is none occasion of a stumbling in him. So it's a promise of stability. And now it's a promise of security. When we walk in brotherly love, we are secure in our Christian life. And brotherly love will cause us not to cause others to stumble. It'll keep us from doing any wrong to others, given any cause of offense, from doing anything to lead others from the path of righteousness or causing them to stumble in the path of righteousness. Now, Christ leads us in the path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. And brotherly love promotes that walk. It doesn't cause another person to stumble on it. Amen? Brotherly love also keeps us from stumbling ourselves. Now listen, true Christian love is not quick to be offended. Amen? None of us get offended very quickly, do we? Not at all. Of course not. It's forbearing, isn't it? Love is forbearing and patient. It's humble. What does humility do? Humility always walks in peace and safety. That's what it does. Do you know what pride does? Destruction, contention, quarrels, conflicts, competition, family feuds. That's where pride gets its thing. Disagreements, discord. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before. What? God called him out. I called some of it. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. I tell you what, if you go on the internet and look up sayings Christians have got wrong, verses, and there's some funny ones that come up. There's some real funny ones come up. But brotherly love shows that 1 Corinthians 13:4 is kind, envies not, vaunteth not itself. Now, we're not full of ourselves. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not evilly provoked, and thinketh no evil. That's true Christian brotherly love. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopeth all things. And what's the last one? Endureth all things. See, that's the characteristics of love. And if we truly are servants of Christ, then only, surely, these traits are acceptable to God. And true love adds up all things. You know, without a doubt, and I've found that over the years, the most unhappy person on the face of this earth is self-centered, self-controlled, selfish person, and without any doubt at all, not one believer can enjoy the abundant life we have in Christ and have a joy that is full if he or she is selfish. It just doesn't work. Because love is the very essence of the Christian life. Thirdly, no brotherly love is evidence of a life of sin. Verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. See, that's a real picture to us. So somebody who has the spirit of hatred, they're groping in the darkness. In fact, they're in a more pitiful condition than someone who is physically blind. You know, physically blind people, they can find their way with a cane. They get used to the habits of walking around. They can have guide dogs and people lead them. But people blinded by hatred cannot be led by anyone until God works a miracle in their heart and the love of God comes into the soul. And then and only then the Holy Spirit can take over and the hatred depart. Hate blinds the mind. He or she who lives in the spirit of hatred cannot see reason. They cannot recognize the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And in our text, it was interesting as I was studying this, there's no middle ground. There's no other conditions mentioned between loving and hating the brethren. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because darkness has blinded his eyes. See, that is, it doesn't know where it will lead him. Now, one quote I read was, his vicious thoughts may lead to violent deeds. And how true that is. John says in the next chapter, in chapter 3, 15 from memory, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. See, vengeful feelings lay seeds, and if they're not careful, it just turns into rotten fruit. You know, life at this time may be in the very early or basic stage. It may be a bit here or there. Love may be a bit weak and poor, but still, life in God, the absolute necessity of demonstration of love is present still in a real and vital way. You know, the Lord's words always ring loud and clear. And in Luke 9:50, he said, "For he that is not against us is for us. Forbid him not." On the other side, the life according to the flesh, the attachment of to the world, the necessary action of selfishness by way of hatred can be very well hidden. Some people are very clever at concealing with an outward appearance of love, but in the secret place, in the inner depths, the man or woman, where the real condition of their moral and spiritual life flows, it's not the fountains of living waters that are flowing, it's the fountain of the world flowing and revealing the true nature and the condition of that person. They're still in a state of death. They're dark and dead and trespasses and sin, and they love nothing but themselves. And with no middle ground, they hate the brother, and that brings to light another word of the Lord: he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Now notice the condition of the one who does not have brotherly love from our text. Their moral lives are in darkness. They hate their brother. They walk in darkness. They don't know where they're going. That's the element of their life. The action of their moral life walks in darkness. The course of their life takes the way, the conduct themselves away, and their behavior is in keeping with the darkness of sin, because that's the way of their life. The destination, he doesn't know where he's going, so their destination is darkness. You see, they don't only know the way that they're walking, they also do not know the end of their walks. They have no idea they're on a road of destruction. The darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, I've read, you know, many years ago, when people were imprisoned in dungeons and so forth for long periods of time, they would begin to lose their sight. They couldn't see properly. And it was a bit like in the Welsh coal mines with the little pit ponies that used to drag coal up. They'd be so long in the darkness that they couldn't let them loose when they got outside, because they just kept bumping into everything. And we're told that darkness, or moral darkness, that the sinner lives in has blinded and destroyed their spiritual vision, and they continue to walk on in that darkness all the time thinking, hey, I'm in the light. But they're lost, they're groping, they're walking according to the course of this world, they're under the control and influences of spiritual wickedness. that is ruled and reigned over by the rulers of darkness. See, love and light, darkness and hatred. It's a simple passage of Scripture, but it's a very revealing passage of Scripture. Now, there's three things, and I'll finish quickly. Three things. One, as Christians, we should have loyalty to the head. In other words, in the law of obedience, we should obey our Savior. We should have loyalty to the rule. In other words, that's the law of imitation. We walk the way He walked. When He was criticized, when He was run down and smitten and stricken of God, did He complain? Did He murmur? Like a sheep before her shearers is dumb, what did He do? He opened not His mouth. And the third loyalty we have is loyalty to the members. And that loyalty to the members is the law of brotherly love. We love one another. My prayer is that we be all loyal members of the Lord Jesus Christ and of His body. Amen. You see, God has done all there is to be done to save those who are lost in His Son. Yet the truth is, many who say they belong to the light are living in darkness. You know, what a joy it is for us to have this letter from John, penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that helps us see the state of our soul and the walk we are to have to glorify and honor our God. Light and darkness, no middle ground. What side are we on? Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that when we set our eye to follow You, not religion, not tradition, but to live in the light of Your love and thus living in brotherly love with one another, Father, we have the light to lead and guide us that shines through. We have a care and compassion for one another as You had for us. And we pray, Lord, that we do all that we can to show those around us Your love at work in our lives as we love them. As prickly as some people may be, as hard as some people may be, let us not be offended, but let us rejoice that You've taken it all before us. And we can, Lord, love others the way You did. And we thank You for the wonderful testimony. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.